Hi, welcome to the Introvert Entrepreneur Podcast for November 14th, 2011. I'm Beth Below, and I'm pleased to serve as your tour guide through all things introvert. Through the Introvert Entrepreneur, I offer coaching, training, and presentations that inspire introverts to understand, own, and honor their natural strengths. I also help extroverts understand the introverts in their lives, as well as tap into their own inner introvert. Before we join Rachel Parker in a conversation about the ins and outs of social media, I want to let you know about a great opportunity that's coming up very soon. If you're committed to making 2012 your best year ever, you'll want to join me for the Make 2012 Amazing group coaching circle to be held in January and February. This offering is limited to 5 to 7 entrepreneurs who want to focus on turning up the volume, introvert style, of course, to meet their business development goals. We'll talk about marketing, money, and managing your time and energy, among other topics. Plus, each Coaching Circle member will get 2 30-minute individual sessions, so we can really drill down and focus on your specific opportunities and challenges. This is a perfect opportunity for the introvert entrepreneur who wants to bring more accountability, focus, feedback, and insights from others into their business. Information and registration is now available at www.theintrovertentrepreneur.com. Now let's get on to the podcast conversation. Social media has been one of the greatest inventions to ever hit the introvert world. We can engage with people on our own terms, forming relationships more intentionally, and deciding when we want to take the online to offline. It can, however, sometimes become overwhelming and take over our valuable business development time and energy. My guest today shares insights as to how introverts can leverage social media and navigate the constantly changing landscape. Rachel Parker, owner and principal of Resonance, brings a track record of success in social media to her work with forward-thinking businesses. With over 15 years of experience as a brand strategist and marketing writer, Rachel has worked with some of the most prominent companies in Houston, Texas, including Hewlett-Packard, Cisco Food Service, AIG American General, the Methodist Hospital, Reliant Energy, and many more. Rachel, welcome to the podcast. I am so looking forward to talking social media with you.
Thank you, Beth. Happy to be here.
So you first came to my attention, I think it was late summer maybe, when you wrote a really outstanding blog post called Social Media and the Introvert's Advantage. And of course, that immediately caught my eye. And as part of that, you know, before we dive into the social media part of things, I'd like to hear a little bit more about you. Because you mentioned in that blog post that it's been only in the past few years that you realized introversion was that, well, number one, you know, you knew you were an introvert, but that you shifted to looking at it as an asset as opposed to a liability. Can you tell us more about that transition and what difference it's made for you?
Yes, would love to. So this would have been probably about 5 or 6 years ago, and I was working for an advertising agency. Now, if you think introverts have a challenge in the regular business world, try working in an advertising agency.
Yeah, definitely.
Just these, I mean, huge personalities, and I literally sat in creative meetings where people would elbow each other out of the way to get their ideas heard, and it was just, you know, very, like I said, very big personalities and lots of spouting off. And, you know, I had a real challenge, as you can imagine, trying to fit in. And it was also a very competitive environment. So I said, okay, I've got to find a way to make this work for me and my style. And so I started looking around at different books, as, you know, like a good introvert, when I have a challenge, I look for a book.
Exactly.
And I found one called The Introvert Advantage by Marty Olson Laney. And, you know, Beth, I'm not a person who says books change my life every other day, but this book truly did. And, you know, I read it, and it was just, it was such a relief to know that, you know, introversion is not a handicap, and it's not something that we have to overcome. It's just an aspect of my personality. And, you know, really, you can't say extroverts are better than introverts any more than you can say type blood A is better than blood type B, because it's just, it's part of how we're hardwired. And I really learned, you know, that there are certain advantages to being an introvert in certain situations. And so as a result of reading that book, I was really able to take my situation at this, you know, this very loud, very very active ad agency and really use it to my advantage. And what I started doing was really leveraging close personal interactions. So, yeah, we would have those creative meetings where people were, you know, trying to shout over each other. And I would come away from that and go visit the account executive in her office and say, hey, you know, I had some ideas that I'd like to talk over with you, and to really take it down to that personal level. And it was very, very, very successful. I was actually left that agency after 5 years and had a very good time there and was able to achieve a great deal of success. And the lessons that I got from that book are ones that I take with me today. So that's kind of how I learned to embrace my introversion.
Awesome.
And make it a part of my business.
Yeah. And I'm just like you, like, oh, is there a book about that? I need to learn more. So,
right.
So thank goodness that that she wrote that book, you know, so many mm-hmm. years ago. And I think that that's been, I think that it spurred a little introvert revolution and awareness of us understanding who we are and like mm-hmm. you said, embracing it and leveraging it mm-hmm. to our advantage. And it sounds like you took the lessons and, or, you know, took the insights to heart and applied mm-hmm. them to your situation. And rather than kind of throwing up your hands in frustration and quitting, you said, okay, so
yes.
there's something here that I can, there's a stretch and I have some choices about this and
yes.
some control.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So here's a question for you, and you might not have experienced this in the ad agency kind of mm-hmm. environment, but now that you're on your own as an entrepreneur, you might get this question as well. But when I'm presenting to groups, I'll often get a question about, can I be in real life any, but an mm-hmm. online outie?
mm-hmm.
And so, you know, because we notice that, I know I do, I think I show up a little bit, not differently, but certainly more in an extroverted kind of way when mm-hmm. I'm online. What mm-hmm. do you think about that paradox?
It's very, very good question. You know, one thing you definitely don't want to do in social media is try to be someone you're not, because, you know, it's that genuineness and being yourself that is the key to succeeding in social media. So I would see it not in terms of being an online outie, but, you know, engaging as myself, which includes my introversion. And that would include things like, you know, introverts were very in tune with other people. And that is definitely an advantage. You know, the first thing I do when I look on Facebook is see what's going on with everybody else and where I can, you know, chime in and say, oh, you know, what a wonderful baby picture, or congratulations on that promotion. And to really be in tune with that online environment and to engage on a very personal level. And then in terms of what I put out there in terms of my updates and my tweets or whatever, to be in tune with what people are interested in, what people are listening for, and to be able to respond to that, to say, hey, here's a great article I found that I think I think you folks in my circle would be interested in, or here's an event you might be interested, or here's an insight that I wanted to share, and to really, you know, just like I did in my experience at the agency, to take that down to a personal level and to really interact with people on that level and to demonstrate that I am interested in whatever, what's going on with everybody else, and to really engage them very personally.
And that you bring up something I think is really important, and that's that I appreciated that you said, you know, you don't like to think of it as an online extrovert or online outie, mm-hmm. because really, as you know from reading The Introvert Advantage, we've got both introvert and extrovert in us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think social media allows us to express some of those different mm-hmm. parts of ourselves. And
Definitely.
And what you were just saying kind of leads me to my next question, which is, can introverts leverage social media to build stronger relationships?
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. You know, anyone who knows me knows that I abhor the term social media marketing, because I think if you go into social media with a marketing mindset, then you've already missed the boat.
Yeah.
Social media is about engagement. And to people who might be new to the social media environment, I advise them to think of it as an extension of your personal networking. You know, you, if someone walks up to you at a networking event and say, hey, you know, how's it going? What's going on? Well, you wouldn't just spout the contents of your latest brochure. You know, you would talk about things you're working on and problems that you're solving for clients and, you know, how you're helping people to meet their business needs. And really, social media is just an electronic extension of that. It's, like I said a few minutes ago, it's about engaging people on their level. It's about talking about their challenges and helping to meet their needs. And introverts, you know, one huge advantage that we have in social media is that we're excellent listeners. And if you read any kind of book or blog post about social media for business, the number one thing you have to do is listen. And because we are such good listeners, we can get out there and listen to what other people are talking about and be really in tune with that and respond to that. And that's actually why I called my company Resonance, because, you know, if you want to go out there and make noise, go for it. There's plenty of noise out there. But my approach to social media is to take what makes you special, what makes your business special, and what's important to your clients, to your current and potential customers, and find where those two resonate, where that sweet spot is, where, you know, what you're in business to do resonates with what they find important. And so that's where I think introverts have a distinct advantage in social media.
Excellent. Yeah, and I find it's like you said, it is about engagement, not about selling. And if we go into that with selling mindset, then we're not going to form relationships and truly connect with people. And I think that that's what introverts crave, is a deeper mm-hmm. engagement and connection.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, you know, I, being a solopreneur working from home, social media is one of those ways that I do get some of that, sometimes a deeper mm-hmm. connection. And I, yeah. so I love mm-hmm. social media.
mm-hmm. <Yes.
laughs> And I'm becoming aware that I can spend too much time cultivating those particular virtual tribe relationships. And mm-hmm. so my actual tribe, which is like mm-hmm. the flesh and blood people that I can contact outside of social media, is not mm-hmm. as cultivated. Mm-hmm. So do you have any thoughts on how we can use the virtual to feed mm-hmm. reality?
Sure, absolutely. You know, I love social media too, obviously. But, you know, as impactful and as resourceful as it is, there will never be a substitute for face-to-face contact and for, you know, a smile, a handshake, or if you're remote, to hear someone's voice on the phone. So, so I would advise people, if you are, you know, if you're establishing some good relationships online, to offer to take that online, to say, hey, you know, I would love to hear more about what you're working on, what your business is. Can we arrange a phone call? Or can we, if you're in the same town, can we meet together? Another alternative is, of course, Facebook now has video chat. So you could actually say, hey, let's set up a time to connect on Facebook and actually chat face to face. And it really does take on a deeper context, no matter how successful your online conversations are. It really does go to another level when it's either face-to-face or voice-to-voice. So, you know, I would say, and it kind of reaches a natural point, whether you're engaging with someone on Facebook or even on email, to say, hey, you know, let's take this offline and actually have a conversation and to take that relationship to the next level.
I'm glad you mentioned the Facebook chat, because I had mm-hmm. forgotten about that, the video chat.
Yeah.
is that something that you're seeing as, is it taking hold and growing in popularity? Are people using it in your experience with clients and whatnot?
You know, I think a lot of people are in your situation, that they heard about it when it first came out and then they forgot about it.
Exactly. I forgot completely.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's part of the nature of the beast. You know, Facebook, they just launched a whole new slew of capabilities last week. And as they pile on those new capabilities, it's really easy to forget about the old ones. Mm-hmm. And also, if you happen to be on Google Plus, you can actually do a chat with up to 10 people. Now, if you're a true introvert, that might make you cringe, but mm-hmm. but it is possible. And I think we're going to see more of that video of that, you know, that more of that face-to-face networking. Now, a lot of people are still very camera shy, and myself included, I'm not necessarily shy, but, you know, I do want to have my hair fixed and my makeup exactly. on, which today would be an exception to that because I'm in Slouch Friday mode, but I think as people, you know, do more embracing of social media and more of that to see where you can leverage that social media to actually talk face to face, I think it will definitely take on a larger role. And of course, you know, with technology, we can do face to face chat from our iPhones or our Android phones. You don't even need a formal camera to be able to do it. So I do see that taking on a bigger role in our social lives.
And you mentioned another thing that I haven't figured out yet, and I admit I haven't really dove into it, but that's, you're probably going to guess what I'm going to say, Google Plus.
Yes.
I have to admit, I have no idea what it is. Would you
okay.
spend a couple of minutes maybe giving us a big picture of Google Plus and why we might use it?
Sure. Google Plus launched this summer and has made a huge splash in that in just a few months, it has gotten up to 50 million users, which is just an absolutely amazing milestone in such a short amount of time. The flip side of that is that there's not a whole lot of activity going on Google Plus. So I think a lot of people went ahead and set up, you know, became members and set up their profiles, but aren't necessarily using it on a regular basis. Myself included, I do use it to promote my blog posts, and I'll, you know, check in every once in a while. But the people I see there most often are the diehard social media geeks like myself. I don't see a whole lot of personal interaction. So I'm not sure where it's going to go. What I'm interested to see is how it's going to integrate in the future with the other Google applications, how it's going to integrate with Google Calendar, how it will integrate with Google Documents. You know, will we have, you know, online Google Chats where we pull up a Google document and talk about it? And if that integration is successful, I could see it being a hugely successful tool for things like team building and for more for small group social aspects rather than more the Facebook model where it's just open to everybody. So, and Google has indicated that some of that integration will be coming later this year. So I'll be very interested to see, number one, what they do with it and what that does to the actual interaction levels on Google Plus. So yeah. It'll be an interesting few months.
So how would you just, like, I've never even seen Google Plus. So how mm-hmm. would you, does it compare to anything that we're currently used to? Like, is it sort of like Facebook or anything like that? And why would I, as it stands right now, why, what mm-hmm. would be the advantage of using it?
Yeah. If you go to Google Plus, it looks a great deal like Facebook. You've got, you know, you've got your profile picture in the upper left corner and then your feed in the middle and then, other links over to the right. The big disadvantage to it right now is there's no business presence. So there's no equivalent of the Facebook page yet on okay. Google Plus. So I think that might be why we're not seeing those interaction levels that we see on Facebook. And, you know, as far as why would you want to get involved and why would you want to get it set up? You know, I think, like I said, I think a lot of people went ahead and became members just to see what happens. And, you know, if it is the next best thing, then I'm going to be there and not playing catch up. But I think the most interesting thing about Google Plus right now is how it's influencing Facebook. You know, a lot of those, it's kind of like, and this is going to sound kind of crass, but it's kind of like the divorced parents relationship. You know, when one gives a present, you know, the other one gives a present. So when Google mm-hmm. Plus comes out with something really cool, then, you know, Facebook feels the need to do their own thing. So it is comparable to Facebook, more so than Twitter or LinkedIn or any other networks. And you know, it does offer some advantages, which Facebook is now responding to. For example, you can have circles, and basically you can designate, okay, this is going to be my circle of my industry peers, for example, and I can designate which people I'm going to put in that circle, and I can publish a post that just goes to those people. So as opposed to the Facebook model where I put something in my status and it goes out to my Facebook universe of however many people, I can engage with just the people in that circle. And that's been an interesting development. I haven't actually used circles because I'm so used to the Facebook model of, you know, what I put out there being out for everybody. So I'm not sure where that's going to go, but it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, it's really fascinating because, anytime, like you said, somebody new comes on the scene, it causes the other person to perhaps up their game, you know, and it might spur some innovation. And if Facebook was getting too comfortable, they've definitely gotten some challenge. So you've persuaded me to check out Google Plus and see.
Okay, great.
See what that's all about, because I do see that, especially for the introvert, those circles being a really valuable tool if you want to contain some of the information you want to share and have a more intimate connection. That would be
definitely
useful. And so speaking of intimate connections and filtering things, what advice do you have for introverts who really value their privacy but feel like any sort of social media presence they might have, it's too hard to control, and so it might be too revealing, and they end up not engaging at all, maybe.
Sure, definitely a valid point. A lot of people, as you mentioned, are shying away from social media because they are very private themselves. And the thing I would remind everyone is that social media is a tool in much in the same way that the telephone or email is a tool, and you are in control of how you use it. I know one person in particular who was an entrepreneur who only uses social media for business. She does not upload family photos to Facebook. She doesn't, talk about her vacations or whatever. It's strictly for business. I have another friend who's exactly the opposite, who is only private on Facebook and doesn't do any kind of business engagement. So the thing that I would recommend is that, you spend some time deciding on, what is your policy as far as who you engage with, what kind of information you share, and to really take control and, to be in control of your social media presence. And it's funny that you asked that, because just this morning I saw a great interview with Cece Chapman, who is one of the co-authors of the book Content Rules. And he makes the point that one of the most successful organizations in social media is the U.S. Army. Now, if anyone needs to be concerned about, confidentiality, it's the U.S. Army, because if the wrong information gets out, that could be, bad on many, many levels. But they've actually been very successful in that they've established guidelines. And everyone who's involved in social media knows about these guidelines, and they know, what can be shared, what shouldn't be shared, and they have guidelines for different situations. So if you're in, if you're actually deployed in a battle situation, here are your guidelines. And if you're, sitting in an office somewhere in stateside, here are your guidelines. And they've actually found a great deal of success with that. So, I think some people have this image that if you even set up the simplest Facebook post, then your entire life is going to be out there for everyone to see. And I would counsel those people to say, you're in control. You're in control. If if there's something you're not 100% comfortable in sharing, then don't share it. Mm-hmm. You don't have to share everything. You don't have to put every single photo out there. You don't have to share. You don't have to get involved in location-based social media to tell people, where you are and when you're going on vacation. Get out there and share what you're comfortable sharing, and the rest just keep private.
Yeah. Well, you're bringing up a couple of good points that hit home for me, and one is that it's worth it. If you want to be engaged in social media, it's worth it to take the time to to understand the filters and controls and permissions and mm-hmm. and privacy settings that you have. It might take mm-hmm. a little bit of effort, but that you probably have a little bit more control than you think. Mm-hmm. And so you don't have to be as withholding because you feel like your entire life is out there for the entire world to see. And I also wonder, how would you counsel clients, since I'm a coach, there's, mm-hmm. I feel a little more free, I suppose, mm-hmm. to express myself online in mm-hmm. terms of what my values are, what I believe in. Even though I know that there are probably people that are on my business page that are asking to be my friend on my personal page. Mm-hmm. And so those lines get really blurred. And I think, well, you know, who I am is my business and who I am is who I am. And mm-hmm. if somebody doesn't like me, then mm-hmm. they might not even want to be doing business with me. Mm-hmm. So I feel a certain amount of, I'm discerning, but I feel a certain amount of freedom, and I know not everybody feels that way. And mm-hmm. social media has certainly brought up that question about, well, if I've got a private page and a public page, or, you know, a profile mm-hmm. and a business page, you know, how much do I share about my political views or my religious mm-hmm. views or my, you know, my values? How do you counsel clients who want to have that presence and don't necessarily mm-hmm. want to draw a really bright line between the business and the personal, mm-hmm. but want to be intentional. Mm-hmm. So how do you advise them right. how much to reveal, I suppose?
Yeah. Great question. And I go back to my approach, which is, you know, your online persona is your online personality. So if people, you know, on a personal level, on a face-to-face level, if your political views or your social views are very much a part of your in-person personality, then feel free to share that online, but, you know, do be prepared to deal with the consequences. You know, not everybody's going to agree with you, and some people, you know, some people do allow that to affect their business. And, you know, it's the same as in person. You know, if you happen to get in a conversation with a potential client about politics and you disagree on something, then that could affect whether or not they do business with you. And that's just how human beings are. You know, we have our, there's a reason why, you know, we say at dinner parties, what is it? Stay away from religion, politics, and sex, because that's you know,
and money, I think too.
Those are the hot buttons. And you know, if you're very concerned about it, then it might be best to stay away from those topics and you know, and just be, you know, strictly business or strictly, you know, your personal life. But, you know, I have all kinds of friends on Facebook. One, it loves to rant about everything under the sun. And, you know, we know that that's part of his personal brand. And others, you know, myself included, I choose to stay away from it because I don't, and that's going back to my in-person personality. I don't, you know, I don't make my views a part of my day-to-day conversations, and they're not part of my online conversations. And once again, you know, you're in control, and whatever you decide to do is, you know, you can make it work.
Thank you. Yeah. Yay. I agree.
Great.
Well, I feel affirmed that you're saying it that way, because I've had a client or two who said, you know, how much do I share of myself? And here we weren't mm-hmm. necessarily talking about social media, but like my About Me page on my yes. blog, which mm-hmm. is, you know, of course, a very highly, you know, would get as much traffic as your blog, perhaps. And mm-hmm. and I think what I said was, if it impacts who you are as an entrepreneur and how you provide your services, and if it's a natural part of what you bring to the table, mm-hmm. then perhaps it's worth sharing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If it's not, you know, if you have niggling doubts about it, then, mm-hmm. you know, when in doubt, leave it out.
Yeah.
I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's, I think it's really neat, actually, that social media is kind of forcing those questions, because it does make people think about, how do I want to be perceived? What's important to me? Where do I stand? you know, it's actually got profound implications. It's not just for sharing what you ate for breakfast. So
yeah, exactly. And akin to that, I'm seeing a great deal of interest, both in seminars that are popping up and blog posts about personal branding. Now, 5-6 years ago, nobody, you would say personal branding, people would say, what is that? What could that be? But now that we're online and we have these very public personas, personal branding is becoming a very hot topic. And, you know, how do you want to be perceived out there? Not only, as an entrepreneur, obviously you're closely tied with your business, but just, you know, if you're an employee working for an organization, how do you want to be perceived? So it's really changed our mindsets and how we go about our daily lives.
Yeah, and a lot of people have gotten in trouble because they've not thought about it. and on the flip side, you see some interesting success stories that that, you know, people who have risen to the top and come to the attention of people that might not have otherwise if they hadn't really shown up and been themselves on social media.
Exactly.
So, well, along with that idea about, being intentional about how you're showing up, the other thing that seems to come up quite a bit is, how do you keep social media from being a time suck? especially something like Facebook. It's like, oh, I'm doing business. Yeah, I'm having fun, but oh, I'm doing business. So how can you make sure that social media has a healthy presence and function and a healthy, rather than being that time suck or as a procrastination tool, you know, a way to keep you from doing all the tough stuff.
Exactly. Great question. And just like, you know, just like anything that you, any of the easy stuff that you enjoy, what you can do is just, put social media on your calendar and say, okay, every morning from 9 o'clock to 9:30, I'm going to, I'm going to maintain my Facebook page or my blog or whatever, and put a time limit on it and say, put a slot on your calendar, just like a regular meeting, and stick to it. And when that, when 9:30 rolls around, okay, it's time to put it away until the next day or if you do it in the morning and afternoon until the next session. Another thing you can do that I use with myself is if you enjoy social media, to use it as a reward to say, okay, I'm going to make these 3 phone calls that I really don't want to make. But, once I make those 3 phone calls, I'll give myself an extra 15 minutes on Facebook and to use it that way. So, I've found both those approaches pretty successful in my own business.
I'm big on rewarding yourself.
Yes.
And sometimes we have trouble with that. Like, I'm not sure what to do. So you've just given us a wonderful idea for how to reward ourselves when we have to do that tough stuff, is to say, okay, you get 15 minutes on YouTube, go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
With me, especially the telephone, because that's probably my least favorite business activity. So that's how I get myself to make those calls.
I've had lots of discussions. My husband and I joke about how we're both introverts and we both dislike the phone quite a bit. So I always share that we argue over even who's going to order the pizza. And so it becomes a negotiation of, okay, if you call and order the pizza, I'll go scoop the litter box. So if you can, you think about, sometimes it's, we dread even picking up the phone to order pizza, let alone following up with a prospect or reaching out to somebody new, that's a whole nother level of phone phobia.
Yeah. Exactly.
And that's one reason I've been loving social media, and I think it can become something of a distraction because it is a way, and in some ways we can get too dependent on it for our communication. And I'm noticing that with Facebook, and I wonder if you have any thoughts on this. Like you mentioned before, there have been so many changes that they've been layering on and new applications that I find that it's not as an effective communication tool as it used to be, because it feels like there are so many more bells and whistles and things competing for our attention. I'm wondering if you've perceived that, and if you would have any insights for us on how we can be, kind of cut through the noise.
Yeah, it's funny that you bring that up, because I think on so many levels with social media, we're learning the same lessons that we had to learn with email like 10 years ago. And, when email first came out, we were trying to manage entire relationships on email, and it just became unmanageable. Mm-hmm. So, and with Facebook, you know, unlike email, it's like you said, it's almost a new beast every time you pull it up. So I would say, you know, to avoid becoming overwhelmed, to maybe look at those new features one at a time, to say, okay, you know, I will try, you know, this week I'll try video chatting with somebody, or, you know, next week I'll try using this, you know, whatever this new thing is, or to, and then of course you can reach out to social media itself. You know, every time Facebook comes out with new features, there are hundreds of blog posts the next day to say, okay, here's what you need to know about these new features, and to have that explained to you. And, you know, you don't have to use all of them. That's mm-hmm. what I have to remind myself, you know, mm-hmm. just because it's there doesn't mean I have to use it. So an easy way to avoid becoming overwhelmed is just to, you know, to have your MO, to have your way of using it, and then to gradually try out those new features and use them only if they make sense to you.
Yeah, we don't have to embrace every bright, shiny object that comes down the pike.
It's tempting. It's very tempting.
But it is very tempting, especially if it's mm-hmm. because it's fun, you know, often, mm-hmm. or at least it is for me. I know it's not for everybody.
Yeah.
But it is fun.
Yes.
So any bottom, either I could go two ways with this question, and tell me which one you would rather answer. You know, any either bottom line advice that you find yourself giving people a lot about mm-hmm. social media, that you feel like, okay, if everybody got this piece, then mm-hmm. it would really be transformational. So the second question that I have is, you know, if you see any trends coming down mm-hmm. the pike with social media that you feel like are worth our attention and worth learning mm-hmm. more about. So there mm-hmm. were two questions there, and you can either answer both or one of them.
Okay. Okay, great. I'll try to answer both, because I'm an overachiever that way. I think for the first question, I think the one piece of advice that I would like to communicate to everybody is, before you put anything out there, to give some serious thought as to how it's going to be perceived. And that's another advantage that we introverts have. You know, we don't, in person, we don't mouth off and just start communicating for the sake of communication. We tend to put a lot of thought into what we say before we say it. And in social media, that is so important, because I know with Twitter especially, there's this perception that people, you know, get on and say, I am eating a bagel, it is good, and that's why, you know, Twitter is worthless. And with introverts, we're already conscious about what we communicate before we communicate it. And, you know, getting back to that part about resonance, you know, before you put something out there, especially for your business, to be conscious of, okay, are the people who are following me, are they going to find this valuable? Is this going to add value on any level? And I think if you just keep that in mind, then that could be, you know, that could be the basis for a very successful social media presence. And then as far as trends go, you know, it's hard to separate the trends from the technology, but you know, I'm seeing a lot, there's a lot more activity on Facebook than just the page and the updates. You know, with technology, companies are able to set up actual stores on Facebook so that you can place an order without actually having to go to their website. And it's becoming more, like we talked about a little while ago with the different capabilities, more and more encompassing, so that companies are really able to set up a Facebook presence, and it can be a standalone, in much kind of as a parallel to their website. And another trend that I'm seeing is that companies are really, getting back to my answer to the first question, companies are really becoming in tune with the needs of their audience, and separate from their actual product or service, for example, I'm looking at the Facebook page for Secret right now, which is, of course, a women's deodorant. And they have established a presence that's really focused on, you know, female empowerment and, you know, women who are inspiring and women who are successful. They actually sponsored a swimmer a couple of months ago who had set out to swim from Cuba to Florida. And they part of their Facebook presence was keeping up with the swimmer and her practices and what's going on with her. And now, of course, this has nothing to do with deodorant, but it has a great deal to do with their their community and what the issues that are important to them. So that's one of my favorite examples of how a company has been able to take social media beyond that marketing message and really to use it for value-added engagement. And I'm looking at their page now, and they actually have 1.3 million fans on Facebook. And they're, I mean, every single post, you know, their post from today, 505 people like this. They got 16 comments. They're getting a great deal of interaction. So, so that's a trend that I really like to see about companies really taking it beyond the provider-customer relationship and really getting to that level of engagement.
Yeah. Because how much can Secret write about, here's how to put on your deodorant?
Exactly. Still not sweating, okay.
Yeah, not sweating, woohoo! You know, or, oh, we have a new scent out. You know, that's very me, me, me. And one thing I've learned about social media is that it needs to be, you know, you, 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 or us, us, us.
Exactly.
As opposed to that me, me, me. So, well, thank you for sharing those insights. That's very helpful. Yeah. And for the Secret, now I'm going to have to go check that out. So, so I have a question that I wrap up all of my interviews with, and that is if you were, maybe when, but if you were granted a year's vacation on Introvert Island and all expenses were paid and you could only take 3 books, like tangible paperback, you know, paper books with you, what would you take with you and why?
Oh, I wish that was a win. A year's vacation sounds lovely. Great question, and I put a great deal of thought into it. And I think the three would be, number one, How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie.
Love Dale Carnegie.
Yes. You know, it's amazing. This book was written 100 years ago, and it's still as valid today as it was back then. And I actually have a tickler on my calendar to pick it up and read it once a month because such valuable insights and insights that I've taken on to my social media presence and have worked very well. So that would be number one. Number two would be The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. This is another favorite of mine, and it's a wonderful reminder that there is a creative spirit in all of us. There is an artist in all of us, and it's a very nurturing book to kind of help cultivate that creative spirit and to make that part of our everyday lives. So that would be number two. Number three would be actually an autobiography of one of my favorite introverts, and that is Tony Dungy. He is the now former coach of the Indianapolis Colts and made history as the first African-American coach to win a Super Bowl. And, you know, I followed his career and just always admired his leadership style. And his autobiography is called Quiet Strength, very appropriately.
Yeah.
And it's a wonderful description of his journey and how I was especially interested in how he was able to find his own leadership style. And this is a man who, you know, not only became a successful NFL coach in a very aggressive, naturally very aggressive environment, but was able to, like I said, become the first Black coach to win a Super Bowl. And it's a very inspiring read, and it's one of my favorites. So those would be my three in my carry-on for my vacation on Introvert Island.
Excellent. And would you mind, I had not heard about the NFL coach, and that sounds very intriguing. What is the name of the autobiography?
It's called Quiet Strength.
Quiet Strengths. Okay.
And the author is Tony Dungy, D-U-N-G-Y.
Great. Thank you. I'm going to have to pick that up. Add that to my reading list.
Yeah.
So if folks want to learn more about you and Resonance, how can they connect with you?
Sure. Sure. The best way to find me is through my website, which is resonancesocialmedia, all one word, .com. And you'll also find a link to my blog there, which is resonancesocialmedia.com/blog. And I blog several times a week about, specifically about social media for small businesses. I think that's where, you know, a lot of my clients are smaller businesses, and they really want to know how to make social media work for a company that is not huge, you know, large enough to hire an entire team to do this, and how to make it work for themselves. And so I do blog a lot about that. So that's the best way to find me.
Excellent. And do you have a Facebook page yourself?
I do. My Facebook page is facebook.com/resonancesocial. You can also find me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is @resonancesocial. And I've got all my other social media presences on a page called called about.me. And that page is about.me/ Rach Parker, I think it is. I'd have to verify that. But it's one page where I've got all my various social media presences. So I'm out there.
And about.me, I don't think I've encountered that one. A new bright shiny object.
Okay.
So another place to make a profile, it sounds like.
It's a great website. Well, it's great because you can include links to all your various profiles. So you can link to your Twitter, your Facebook, your YouTube, your Foursquare. You can just get it all in one place. So
wow, it's amazing.
You're not getting out of many different.
Right, a million different URLs, and it's fascinating how I don't know, just how our lives have changed in the past even 3-4 years. Mm-hmm. Since all of these different tools have gone from mm-hmm. fledgling to, you know, full-fledged mature adulthood, mm-hmm. and been so integrated into our lives. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. it's so important that somebody like you is you know, staying on top of all of the trends and mm-hmm. helping to counsel us on how to navigate the maze. So mm-hmm. Thank you so much for what you do in general and for what you've done
sure.
for us today.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
It's been a great learning experience, and I've got several things now that I need to go check out. And
okay,
I hope our listeners feel the same way. So thank you, Rachel. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Beth. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks so much for listening today. I hope you enjoyed the conversation with Rachel Parker of Resonance Social Media. Please remember to visit Rachel's website to learn more about her and her services. You can find her online at resonancesocialmedia.com. To be notified of future podcasts from The Introvert Entrepreneur, you can subscribe by email, RSS feed, or through iTunes. To find this podcast on iTunes, just type the word introvert in the search bar in the audio podcast section. If you enjoy these podcasts, I invite you to leave a review on iTunes and share these interviews with friends, family, and colleagues. You can also find out more about how to hire me for coaching, trainings, or speaking engagements at theintrovertentrepreneur.com. And please be sure to check on my website, theintrovertentrepreneur.com, for more information about the group coaching circle that starts in January. I also invite you to join us on Facebook for more community and conversation. You can find us at facebook.com/theintrovertentrepreneur. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to seeing you next time.